flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's go game by game here through the NFL matchups on the slate. We'll start with game one of six. This is Saturday afternoon football for the LA Chargers and the Houston Texans. We were joking about this, Danny, but I really do believe this. If you're in the playoffs and you're the Houston Texans, I think you are contractually obligated to play in the Saturday afternoon window before everything gets heated up, right?
That's the rule.
You're not allowed a primetime slot. 4:30 kick on CBS. The Chargers lead the NFL in scoring defense. 17.7 points per game allowed. They're one of four AFC teams to win at least six road games. The Chiefs, Ravens, and Bengals are the other teams. If the Texans win, it's going to be because of their pass rush. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter both have 11-plus sacks this year. The only teammates to do that all season long. My number one storyline in this game, Jim Harbaugh. Year one. He's a hurricane, but the guy wins, man. Is Jim Harbaugh going to have his team on the brink of an AFC championship game in his inaugural year back in the league?
Texans' hot start to me is kind of the thing I'm watching. If they get off to a good start, if they get a lead, maybe you make the Chargers one-dimensional, then that pass rush can really have an effect. If the Chargers have it their way, it's going to look like a Big Ten in the middle of winter type football game. It's Dobbins, it's Edwards, it's everyone under the sun running a little bit of play action. They've opened it up recently, but I think they know what they want to be, and that's a running team. You said it. That's the story. My secondary story, I'll just say this, is a Texan season that's kind of underwhelmed. Again, this is a division winner, double-digit wins, but we expected them to be a legit contender in the AFC. Hasn't happened, but also more a playoff game, and you're actually in a pretty good position there, right, with C.J. Stroud, DeMeco Ryans, and company.
So C.J. Stroud is story number two here. He took a step back this year. Nobody really saw it coming. Completed a lower percentage of passes narrowly. His interception rate went up. His touchdown rate went down. His passing yards were down significantly from last season. He just didn't have the sophomore year that anybody was banking on. But he can make everybody forget about that.
Yep.
Go out, play a great football game, win a playoff game, and now you have a chance to get further than you did as a freshman. And I think it just changes the eye line on him a little bit at that point. All right, Saturday night football. Let's get into the prime time under the lights. This is one of my favorite rivalries in all the NFL. Generally close, always physical.
Yep.
Steelers-Ravens. Pittsburgh a 6 seed. Baltimore a 3 seed. This game's exclusive on Amazon Prime, so make sure you got your Prime video subscription ready to go.
Turn that Al Michaels up.
Also, Al Michaels will be putting you to sleep with Kirk Herbstreit, the lowest energy broadcast in the history of football.
Lamar Jackson.
Kaylee Hartung on the sideline. So here's your Ravens storyline.
Yeah.
This is not even fair, but I'm already pre-annoyed by the narrative. Right? If they win and Lamar Jackson's great, well, they were just supposed to, and they're a really good team.
Right.
And, you know, they're the best team other than the Chiefs in the AFC maybe. Right? If they lose, it almost doesn't matter how they lost. Somebody somewhere is going to be doing the Lamar Jackson can't win in the playoffs
yep.
thing. And I'm not telling you it should happen. I just know the shouty shows are going to do that all of next week. The Ravens, third team since 2000 to lead the NFL in rushing offense, 188 per game, and rushing defense, 80 per game. They're exceptional.
They are really, really good. And they're as good as anybody right now this minute in the NFL, and they are a legit Super Bowl contender. But you already covered it. You're 100% right. You know the storylines. You know the shoddy shows. You know what they're going to do. If in this rivalry game, where this is what Pittsburgh does. They shouldn't be this good. Their record shouldn't be as good as it is with an offense that's a mess all the time with some of the coaching flubs from Tomlin and company. But yet, here they are in the postseason, as they always are in January. You know, maybe the secondary angle, again, is the fact that the Steelers haven't won a playoff game in some time. Maybe that's kind of, again, the storyline number two. But to me, you're 100% right. It's unfortunately, for better or worse, about Lamar Jackson.
So my number two storyline for Pittsburgh here, and maybe it's just too zoned in on quarterbacks, Russell Wilson may not come back as their starter. I think a playoff win might bring him back as the QB1 next year. But if he plays poorly again, he's on a very much a decline the last several weeks. They might be back in the quarterback market, and it could be one and done for Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh. By the way, I mentioned this earlier in the week. I think this is fascinating. So the Steelers and the Ravens, this is true for both of those teams, but this is the first time in like a decade that a team has not played on a Sunday in like five consecutive games.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
They both played on Saturday in Week 16 head-to-head. Then they played on Wednesday for Christmas. Then they played on Saturday to end the season. And now they're playing on Saturday. So it's kind of a quirky thing that doesn't matter, except that at some point you'd like to get in rhythm. You'd like to actually be back in the normal flow of your season, and they have not. But they're both dealing with it because they've been playing on the same day in those divisional games. All right, let's get to the first game on Sunday. We're going to have three games played in the AFC before a single NFC game is played.
Kind of weird. That's weird, huh?
Broncos, Bills, Denver, and Buffalo. A lopsided line here. The expectation is that the Bills are going to roll right on 8.5, 9 points, depending on where you're shopping. Jim Nance, Tony Romo, Tracy Wolfson, Jay Feely on the call. Broncos, your leaders in the NFL with 63 sacks, third in scoring defense, 18.3 per game. Denver's defense is good enough to win playoff games. The question is, Josh Allen, who's vying with Lamar for the MVP award, can he be better than that Denver defense at home? That's also as hostile an environment to go play in on the road as anybody's dealing with. Buffalo's going to be rocking. Seventh playoff game since 1970, where the hardest team in the league to sack, the Bills, are playing against the team that gets the most sacks, the Broncos.
A team that is third in the league in scoring defense and 10th in the league in scoring is nearly a double-digit underdog. But if you've seen Denver, you know, right? They've rung the bell and played really well, racking up a lot of points and yards and totals against some of the bad teams.
I feel like their good is really, really good.
When they play someone that they're a lot better than, it looks like a 38-6 win against the Falcons.
Even some decent teams. Like the Falcons are a fringe playoff team. They whooped the Falcons, but
they killed them. They've also gotten blown out by the likes of Baltimore. I'm trying to remember some of the other ones.
That was their worst game of the year.
Yeah, they had that one. But they've... This is a pretty good coaching job here by Sean Payton, who everybody wanted to bury halfway through last year and make fun of and kick dirt on. Nailed the Bo Nix selection, all over that, a guy that a lot of people thought was a second rounder. Wrong. He's been sensational for them. They're pretty good, Denver is this year.
So what's the storyline in this game?
Storyline to me is the presumptive MVP. He's the prohibitive favorite, Josh Allen, sort of taking maybe a closing window here in Buffalo through to the next round, as they've got some home field against the team that probably doesn't.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Quite belong in the field with them.
I guess my storyline is Sean Payton-centric, maybe. Like, I do feel like even in year two, they're a little ahead of schedule. If they could knock off the Bills, who are viewed for a lot of people, I think, as a potential Super Bowl winner.
Among the favorites, yeah.
All of a sudden, we view Denver differently. I think right now they're like a happy-to-be-there team. It's one of those scenarios where you look at them and you go, oh, good for them. They made the playoffs. They got 10 wins. Bo Nix is okay. You beat Buffalo, now you're playing a division game, maybe.
You're on easy street.
To try to get to the AFC Championship game. Let's go to the Packers and the Eagles. Quarterback health has been the story all week. Both Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts are going to play. 4:30 kick on Sunday. Kevin Burkhardt and Tom Brady on Fox. Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi on the sideline. Eagles beat the Packers 34-29 Friday night to open the season in Brazil. Second game of 272 in the regular season. Saquon Barkley went ham in that game. Buck 32 on all-purpose, 109 on the ground, three touchdowns, and then, of course, he had one of the great seasons as a running back we've ever seen before, leading in scrimmage yards with 2,283. The storyline for me in this game is going to be, I think, Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts. Didn't play the last couple of games. They were fine without him, by the way, and hasn't practiced much. I'm going to be locked into how he looks because it was a struggle for much of the second half throwing the football for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I hate to just echo you, but Hurts is the storyline, right? Because you had a guy that outplayed Pat Mahomes in a Super Bowl loss a couple of years ago, hasn't quite reclaimed that.
And that's he got still, all the money after that.
Yeah, it's still on the minds of a lot of fans and a lot of people. Even though I'm not an Eagles fan, I hate them so much, I hope they lose every game from here until eternity. But it's still in the minds of a lot of NFL fans where you're giving him the benefit of the doubt because you saw that sample, right? Now would be a great time to reclaim it. There's always something swirling in Philly. It seems like there's always some kind of dramatics. Can you put that to bed against a quality opponent here at home in the first round where you're the favorite?
Vikings, Rams on Monday night, 8 East time kick. This one's on ESPN. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Lisa Salters, and Laura Rutledge on the call. The Rams beat the Vikings. People forget regular season play 30-20 at SoFi. Mm-hmm. Back in week 8, there was a missed call late in the end zone on a face mask on Sam Darnold that may have changed the complexion of the game. But Stafford threw 4 touchdowns in that win. Analytically speaking, I think everyone wants to make this a Brian Flores blitz fest against Stafford, who's handled the blitz as well as anybody in the league. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Rams are a good matchup. And that may be the case. Your storyline, though, changed yesterday. The number one storyline in this game is that it's now in Phoenix. This game is no longer a home game for the Rams. They had to leave their homes. A lot of those players dealing with things with their family and loved ones. Oh, by the way, they're just trying to go to work and get ready for a football game. This is really complicated for Sean McVay and his staff to keep them locked in while bigger, more important things are going on all around them than a playoff football game. But the game will now be played neutral site. In Phoenix, the Vikings get a bit of a break.
Yeah, you don't know if it's going to end up being a rallying cry for the Rams or maybe the reason why it doesn't go so well. That's a challenging situation that not that many people have had to deal with. There's not a lot of precedent for it. I mean, to me, the number one storyline is that. I think so. Just from a football perspective, though, it's a tie. McVay opted in for this matchup, basically, right? Rested his starters in week number 18 on purpose. Didn't care that it was going to be a 14-win team in all likelihood coming to his building. The 1A for me, though, is probably Sam Darnold. This is a chance for him to have guys like me pipe down, right? Everyone knows the rep. Everyone knows where he's been, what he's done, what he hasn't done, how poorly he's come up in some of these huge moments when he's got to be the dude. It's a great chance for him to exercise some demons. This would be a massive thing for his rep.
Brings us to the sixth and final game, and we'll go back to Sunday night. Finish with the most important game here in town. The Commanders in Tampa to take on the Bucks. 8 Eastern kick on NBC for Tirico Collinsworth and Melissa Stark. Bucks played Washington in week 1. Different Commanders team.
Sure.
37-20 loss in Tampa. Although I'd say it's a different Tampa team too, probably. That was a long time ago. The one consistent element of Washington from now to back then, quarterbacks have had it pretty easy when you've given them time, and Baker Mayfield had all day in that game, threw 4 touchdowns. I love this matchup because the Commanders are going to be able to move the ball. Both teams will. Bucks, number 3 scoring offense in the NFL, 29.5 points per game. Washington is 4th, 28.5 points per game. This is the first time in wild card weekend since 2020, 5 years ago, that we had 2 teams play that averaged 28 or more points. I like the over quite a bit.
Yeah, on paper certainly makes an awful lot of sense. Again, since the bye week in week 11 for Tampa, as they were kind of reeling, to be honest, they lost 4 straight heading into that bye week. They're getting a little bit healthier, kind of reshuffled some things, did some self-scouting. They have been a buzzsaw, basically averaging close to 450 yards of offense, scoring upwards of 30 points per game with a couple of 40-plus point bells rung in there. They've been outstanding on that side of the ball. Defensively, they've been fine, even to plus as they've taken advantage of some bad offenses. This should be, on paper, one of those high-scoring type football matches.
We're giving away Caps tickets in 20 minutes. Somebody listening is going to win a pair of tickets in the good seats to see the Caps and the Penguins right at about 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz. We got Trey Wingo on the show in 1 hour. Patrick Peterson, who's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, is going to be stopping by at 5:30 to preview playoff football with us, as well as we get closer and closer to the Commanders and the Bucks on Sunday night.